Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find Vic, Sade, and young Russell. Sade is seated in her little rocker beside the sink, sewing rapidly and efficiently, while the gentlemen, newly arrived home, stand near the gas stove removing straw hats and loosening neckties. And the master of the menage is saying,
"It's a warm day, Sadie, honey."
"I'll say.
Cool as a cucumber in the YMCA swimming pool.
Letter for you in on the library table."
"From some beautiful woman, no doubt."
"From Mr. Bohr."
"Oh?
Why did he dress you here instead of at the office?"
"Haven't the slightest idea."
"Something of a confidential nature, probably. He desired to avoid the prying eyes of inquisitive..."
"In on the library table, you say, Dr. Sleet?"
"Uh-huh. You have to go to the grocery store, Mr. Fella. Oh, I may have put Mr. Buller's letter in the drawer, Vic. I think I did."
"I'll find it."
"You say you were in swimming?"
"Yeah, YMCA pool."
"Why, I wonder how wise that was."
"Why?"
"You sneezed this morning."
"Yeah, what a horrible thing. By George, I hope I don't die."
"People have died with summer colds."
"Oh, summer colds. I haven't got any summer cold."
"That's what Grandpa Goggler said. He hadn't any more made the remark than he fell over backwards, a rigid corpse." "Nothing funny about it."
"Yeah.
Go get a pencil and scratch paper. Write down what I want from the store."
"I got a pencil right here in my pocket."
"Why on earth do you carry pencils in your pants pocket?"
"Mom, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad you asked that question because..."
"Stab yourself. I knew a fella in Dixon that had a pencil in his pocket and he sat down and was seriously injured. Eisenminger, his name was. Always wore his cap inside out. What's your father holler?"
"Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something exciting in Mr. Buller's letter."
"Say?"
"Yes?"
"I got something that'll knock your head off."
"What?"
"I got something that'll knock your head off."
"Say?"
"Come out here and tell me about it."
"Maybe Mr. Buller wants to go in the hyena grease manufacturing business with Uncle Fetcher and Pelter Unbleed."
"Maybe. Got your pencil and paper ready?"
"Yeah."
"Dozen of eggs."
"Dozen of eggs."
"The ones in the package, remember, not the ones he takes out of the basket."
"Yeah."
"Box of matches." "No, make it 2 boxes. Or 3. Ish. A person would think we all smoke cigars the way matches disappears around here."
"Say, you're a whipper like a bobcat."
"A what?"
"Whipper like a bobcat."
"You'll kick your shoes through the ceiling."
"Salt."
"Large or small?"
"Large. What's Mr. Buller say?"
"He says plenty."
"I bet he says he's going in the hyena grease business."
"Look at me once."
"Huh?"
"You are sneezing yourself up a summer cold."
"I didn't sneeze."
"No, but your eyes got a funny appearance."
"You'd never believe this in 20 years, say."
"I wish you'd come out here and talk, Vic. Can of lima beans."
"Can of lima beans."
"No, that wasn't a bit smart, you going swimming in swimming pools after climbing out of bed coughing and sneezing."
"Oh, heck, Mom."
"Peanut butter."
"Peanut butter. I only sneezed about twice."
"Uh-huh. Grandpa Goggler sneezed about twice and fell over backwards, a rigid corpse."
"Oh."
"Yes, laugh. It's a very, very funny business."
"Say, I want you to read a letter which I guarantee will astound you."
"Mr. Buller getting married?"
"Just the opposite."
"Just the opposite of getting married? What other..."
"Russell, take this letter and read it aloud."
"Mr. Buller been promoted to president of the kitchenware company?"
"Read, Williamson. Listen to this, Sade. Shoot, Kephart."
"Dear Gook."
"Listen now, Sade."
"Dear Gook."
"Why don't they say dear Mr. Gook? Or dear Vic? You're supposed to be such arms around the neck old chums."
"Well, he always calls me Gook. Go ahead, Holtman."
"Dear Gook."
"Mr. Rubish don't call you Gook, does he?"
"Sure, sometimes."
"Person's last name don't sound dignified used by itself."
"Read, Murphy."
"Dear Gook."
"Oh, quit parroting dear Gook and get on."
"Well, shucks, every time I start..."
"Get on."
"Dear Gook, you'll be surprised to receive a letter from me at your residence instead of at the office, so I might as well let the cat out of the bag and not beat around the bush."
"See?
What's the matter?"
"He coughed."
"Holy smoke, no. Call the ambulance, somebody."
"He climbed out of bed this morning sneezing and went swimming, and now he's coughing."
"Well, a person can't hardly call that little grunt a cough."
"Tonight we'll dose that throat."
"Well, there's nothing the matter with my throat."
"No, and there was nothing the matter with Grandpa Goggler's throat either. Only he went to tip his hat politely to a lady and fell over backwards, a rigid corpse."
"Russell, would you read that letter?"
"Dear Gook."
"Tonight we'll dose that throat."
"Say, please.
What's the matter with you?"
"This half-wit is attempting to read a letter out loud."
"Well, I'm a half-wit, am I?"
"This is exciting."
"Well, dandy."
"I'm a half-wit, huh, Goff?"
"Read."
"Dear Gook."
"Your voice sounds funny, too. Just bit a silver nickel, you're wheezing yourself up a summer cold."
"Oh, Thunder, say."
"You object to me taking an interest in my child's health?"
"Thunder, no, but Mr. Buller's letter's got information in it that'll make you whinny like a mushmelon."
"Maybe I should put Mr. Buller's letter in front of when my little boy comes home coughing."
Go ahead, Grusha.
Dear Gook,
summer cold can be a mighty, mighty treacherous thing.
Yeah, sure.
Grandpa Goggler there in Dixon was feeling robust as your undershirt. Got out of bed one morning in August, sneezed a couple of times, never thought anything about it, drank several quarts of ice-cold well water during the course of the day, ate a hearty supper,
and fell over backwards a rigid corpse.
Are you making fun?
Mighty, no. Okay, Farrell.
Dear Gook, tonight this boy gets dosed. Russell, before you go to bed, you get a tablespoon of Miss Harris's blue stuff.
Well, that's horrible, nasty junk.
It may be, but it chokes off germs. Don't you dare let me forget to fix you, slug.
Mm.
Now, maybe.
Dear Gook,
we got any of Miss Harris's blue stuff left?
I don't know.
Yeah, we've it.
How in thunder would I be privy to any such nitwit information?
That's an elegant, polite way to answer a person's civil question, I must say.
Seed, I want you to hear Mr. Bully's letter. It's full of high-test dynamite. You'll jump out of your socks when you hear the news.
Mr. Buller's letter? No, Mr. Buller's letter is hardly an excuse for rudeness.
Will you listen?
Go ahead.
Read, Russell.
Dear Gook.
Oh, ish.
All right, Russell.
I'm sure getting tired of standing here saying Dear Gook over and over again.
Read.
Dear Gook, you'll be surprised to receive a letter from me at your residence instead of at the office. So I might as well let the cat out of the bag and not beat around the bush.
Did you say you got a promotion in this job?
If you'll only listen, you'll find out.
Dear Gook, it's about the 15th time. You'll be surprised to receive a letter from me at your residence.
Skip down past that paragraph.
Begin with the second one?
Does the second one come after the first one?
What?
Read.
Dear Gook.
I said skip that.
As you may or may not know, I have at last made a decision which will...
Oh, just listen to him cough. Oh, boy, do you get a tablespoonful of Miss Harris's blue stuff tonight, mister.
The telephone is ringing.
Answer that, Big.
No.
Oh, ish.
Sometimes I think I'd be happier at the bottom of Miller Park Lake.
Glad I don't get mad that easy.
Dear Gook.
Quiet.
Hello? What? Who? Oh. Yeah. For you.
Me?
Oh.
Who is it?
Ruth.
Not Ruthie.
Ruthie, what's that?
Why, Victor Gook?
Oh, I don't imagine anybody's heart's broken.
You actually talked to Ruthie over the telephone in that crisp, cool, short,
impatient... Here, take the half-wit receiver.
Give me the half-wit receiver.
Dear Gook.
Quiet.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Ruthie, honey. No, just sitting here sewing. Oh, uh-huh. When's this, on Saturday? Why, sure. You bet. I'm sure I can. Well, let's plan on that. Fine. Uh-huh. All right, Ruthie. You betty lady. Sure, and we can talk more about it tomorrow sometime. Sure. All righty, Ruthie. You betty lady. Goodbye. I could tell by her tone of voice she realized you were short and crisp and cool. Where's your father?
Living room, I guess. When you started talking on the phone, he snatched Mr. Buller's letter out of my hand and beat it out of the kitchen.
Well, forevermore.
He acted like he was tough about something.
Hmm. What was in Mr. Buller's letter?
Dear Gook.
Well, didn't you read on ahead to find out the big, exciting news?
No.
Hmm. Yeah, tonight you get an enormous tablespoon of Miss Harris's blue stuff. Choke off that summer cold.
Mm.
Next time you ask permission if you can go swimming before you go swimming.
Mm.
So you don't know the terrible monster's big excitement in connection with Mr. Buller, huh? What you got wrote down?
Eggs, matches, salt, lima beans, and peanut butter.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.